It's that season, and I hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. This is also a time when it's hard. Giving thanks when it's hard, when you want to buy that turkey or that salad or whatever it may be so the whole family can have it, but yet times are hard. Times are hard. And Father, I pray as we bow before you during this Thanksgiving season that you'd inspire this message. Even when giving thanks is hard, as we face all kinds of problems and difficulties, help us to never, never stop praising you and worshiping you. We ask for your inspiration to all who hear this and even those who are not here today, that we would give thanks when things are hard. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The pastor opened the door and he noticed this lady coming in with her head kind of down. And he said, "Are you going to have a great Thanksgiving this year?" And she said, "I doubt it." And he asked, "Well, what's wrong?" "Well, you see, Pastor, I just got this report from my doctor. And it's not good. It's not good at all. And how can I give thanks? How can I be full of praise when my life is on the line?" You see, my son, he died a year ago. And me and my daughter don't get along too well. And so she's probably not coming to Thanksgiving dinner. And I'm probably not going to put it up on the table anyway, because who's going to come? And you never know when somebody's going to push the wrong button or say the wrong thing. And then you got a big mess in the house. That's real. Those things happen. That happened. And giving thanks is hard. Thanksgiving is hard. Harder than we realize sometimes. So what about your Thanksgiving? What about mine? I hope that everyone listening to this message today will have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Giving thanks when things are hard. Maybe that bonus check didn't come through for you this year when you were going to buy all those nice vegetables and pies and turkeys. Just can't do it anymore. Or you're the one that has the health problems and just not able to go through all that work this year. God calls on us, and God has inspired us and I think empowered us to even give thanks when things are hard, when even life is on the line. How can we do that? How can we give thanks when things are hard? I hope these things that I'm going to share with you, that I try to put in my own life, will help you as well. First of all, as Christians, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're experiencing, we know that God is with us. And we can give thanks for that, and that he understands, and that he is real. Remember that. Scripture says, this is what God himself has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That he will be with us at all times. And that because he is God, it's okay. You say, "What do you mean it's okay? I got health problems, got problems with the kids, got marriage problems, I've got this and that. What do you mean it's okay?" See, a lot of times we as Christians like to hide things. We don't want, as one lady told me, or could be a gentleman, "I don't want everybody to know my business." I can understand that. The people can be cruel sometimes. But it's okay with God. I'm going to add another okay with it. It's okay not to be okay. You don't have to have it all together for God. In fact, our relationship with God, I think, is most intimate and powerful is when we can be vulnerable with God. When we can tell God, God, I don't have it all together. You know, sometimes I come and sit before this microphone, pull out my notebook and the sermon, the Bible, and I don't have it all together. But I know that God has it together. And that I give him thanks, not as some physical or spiritual ritual, but I know it's okay with God if I don't have it together. It's okay not to be okay giving thanks when things are hard. It's okay. God looks at our hearts, and he looks at our hearts to see if he sees his reflection there. And if we are real, and he promises, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You know, we just read from the book, the Psalms, and we read about what it says there, Psalm 137, and how the people were discouraged. But one thing about the people, they were real. You see, Jerusalem had been destroyed, as we've learned, and the temple destroyed. And so here come the Babylonians, their enemies, and they are now slaves of them. And they're told to sing a song. Now imagine yourself a refugee, and you're told to sing a song from your homeland. That was hard. They were to praise God, to give thanks to God when things were hard. They said, how can we do this? Well, let me tell you something. Psalm 137 is backed up by Psalm 136. How could you go and give thanks when things are hard? Look at this. How interesting the way God inspired his word to be put together. Psalm 136 precedes 137, giving thanks when things are hard, when your whole culture has been rent asunder. The temple had been destroyed. That was their prize. But you see, God's presence is not about a place. I'll say that again. The presence of God, the temple of God, is not about a place. It's about a person. Please remember that. God's dwelling place is not a building made of stone. It's a person. And I think that's one of the lessons that God wanted Israel to learn by allowing them and ordaining that they be destroyed and that their prized building, the mall people would come, one of the eighth wonders of the world, or how many wonders there was back then, to see this magnificent place. And God allowed it to be destroyed. For it took their minds and hearts away from what was true. And that was him. Therefore, God put the emphasis with the prophets on a tent. We had the luxurious building. He says, but I think you're going to be better off in a tent. Now let's pause and let's think about ourselves. Maybe it's better sometime when we don't get that raise, when life isn't going health-wise or any otherwise well, when we have to turn to a person who is the living God and depend on him and not our will, not our checkbooks. Anybody can give thanks when they got the car in the garage, the kids are making excellent grades in school, marriage is going great, everything is wonderful. Anybody can do that. But if we want to be real about it, that's where God lives. Everything doesn't always go right We need the Lord. So the hymn writers, and that's what the Psalms are, they're hymns. When they put together the Psalms, they made sure that Psalm 137, that we read at the beginning of the service, was preceded by Psalm 136, because he knew that giving thanks when things are hard is difficult. So now let's read Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And then silence. The other group comes in. His love endures forever. This was like, I forget what they call it in singing. You have one stanza, then you have another comes in and just shows the opposite and supports the first. Giving thanks when things are hard is made possible. Not by Psalm 137, but by Psalm 136, which comes before 137. Give thanks to the Lord, because God knew that the folks who would have 137 would be sitting there crying, and they were. And they said, oh, what's the use? You know, and the Babylonians told them, well, sing a song. They said, how can we sing a song through all of this? And they hung up their harps on the poplar trees. And they're basically just shut down. So God had inspired 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. You're going through hard times in Psalm 137, but give thanks to God because he is good. Notice, not that we are good. The focus is not on us, but on God. Giving thanks when things are hard, this is how you do it. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. No matter it's the Babylonians or the Edomites or whoever comes in against you, give thanks to me, for my love endures forever. Next verse 2. That was verse 1. Give thanks to the God of gods. Nobody is greater, nobody's more powerful than I am, God says. And that, he says, think about that. Give thanks to the God of gods. There is no other God. Buddha, whoever else you want to put in there, don't match up. Therefore, we can have confidence and we can praise God and we can give thanks to God when things are hard. Because even though things may be hard, we know that 136:1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And his love endures forever. No one can put a stop to it. Give thanks to the God of gods. He is the God of gods. His love endures forever. Why is this so important? For you know in whom you worship. When the hard times come, you can't pay the bills. You've got illnesses in the family. You got difficulty amongst family members, amongst children, so forth and so on. You know that his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever. The second or third time. To him who alone does great wonders. Giving thanks when things are hard is not hard. When you put your trust in God in the way this psalm was written, and we're encouraged to follow. Verse 5. Who by his understanding, anybody got a greater mind than God? By his understanding. Who by his understanding made the heavens? Hard times hit you? Look up. Look up. Look around. Who made the trees? Who made the birds? Who made the sun to shine? The rains to come? Give thanks. See, therefore, you can bring forth intimate praise, eternal praise. And you know it's true. And because you know it's true, it's coming from your heart. You know who you worship. You know who you are and whose you are. You belong to God. See, that's how to give thanks when things are hard. I don't want to spend too much more time. His love, though, verse 6 is so powerful, endures forever. Out of the earth, upon the waters. See, I don't care if it's a flood or it's something, an earthquake. Out of the heavens, out of the earth, out of the waters, his love endures forever. Why is this so important? For us to give thanks when things are hard. so that everybody will know who you are and whose you are. In other words, this little light of yours, God's going to let it shine. They will know who God is and whose God is by how you handle things when things are hard. And they will know this must be God. This guy has not hung up his harp on the poplar tree and sat there like the Israelites did and wept. They quit. God doesn't want us to quit. He wants to keep on keeping on. Keep on praising him. Keep on thanking him. Can I get an amen on that? Father, we thank you for this season of Thanksgiving. And I ask a health and blessing on everyone who may struggle with something, or you have ordained that we go through things to shape us, to polish us, to make us more like you. Bless your people, Lord. Let them understand that it's the person, not the place. That it's you, not the good time. That they'd like to roll in. That is you, God, and there's none like you. So we ask this Thanksgiving blessing, even and especially when things are hard. And we ask for this victory over discouragement, over health problems, over family problems, over job problems, over whatever you give to us that'll be for our good. And help us to have faith, Lord, that you have already won. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a powerful song. What a meaningful song, especially as we now prepare to partake of the body, the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In that line in the song, we know how the story ends. Our Savior is resurrected. He gives his body and he gives his blood that we may be with him. And they sang a song. It's just overwhelming. Jesus sang a song. It's just a song of victory. It's a song of resurrection. That's how the story ends. Do you believe that? If you don't believe that, what do you believe in? Because you do believe in something. And if that something is wrong, to the infinite degree of just a little bit, or you say to yourself, I'm a pretty good person. You know, jump a little bit off here, a little bit there. Jesus died for all of our sins. We know how the story ends. Our Savior has been raised for us. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 17, we read, after taking the cup, he gave thanks. We talked about giving thanks when things are hard. He knew that his body would be ripped, that he would bleed, that he would be beaten. He did all of that for you. You simply receive it. Believing is receiving it. But you tell the Lord, I receive the life of your son. My life in his place, and he dies for me. I receive that blessing. And I receive that, even though it's hard for me to understand, I receive that it is true. And I want that life. I want that blessing. I want that thanksgiving. And therefore, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave himself as a thank offering to the Father. You talk about giving thanks when things are hard. Here, Jesus gives thanks. The disciples with him give thanks as they eat and drink. When it was hard, knowing that after that meal, what was going to happen to them? They left that room and that night, and they walked through a dark place called the Mount, where a lot of trees were, a lot of vegetation. He walked there. And they sat at the table, and he gave thanks. Would you receive this blessing of thanksgiving? Receive what the Lord has done for you. It says, he gave thanks and said, take and eat. I divide this among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so, Father, we remember what you did for us through your Son when it must have been tremendously hard for you. It's unthinkable that you, our Father, would sacrifice your only Son for me personally. I don't deserve it. None of us do. But we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for thanksgiving, giving thanks and giving your Son for us. So bless us as we eat and as we drink, Lord. As we eat this bread and we drink the wine, do bless it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And while we eat and drink, let's listen to the song, He Will Carry You. When thanksgiving, and you can't carry yourself, He will carry you.
There is no problem too big, God cannot solve it. There is no mountain too tall, He cannot move it. And there is no storm too dark, God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep, He cannot soothe it. And if He carry the weight of the world upon His shoulders, ooh, I know, my brother, that He will carry you. And if He carry the weight of the world upon His shoulders, ooh, I know, my sister, that He will carry you. He said, come unto me, all who are weary, and I will give you too tall, He cannot move it. And there is no storm too dark, God cannot calm it. There is no sorrow too deep, He cannot soothe it. And if He carry the way
is gonna carry you.